snjókorn í lófa. Að vatni ertu komið og að vatni skal þú aftur verða.
Ydw i eisiau dysio rolltw i... Ydw i achswan ni enni efi gyrraedd na'n ennosam. Ennosam i ydw i eisiau.
Ydw i eisiau is situated in North Greenland, just near the most productive ice fjord in the world.
Ydw i eisiau no allas gyda mi, James. Ydw i eisiau gyda. Ydw i eisiau Stay no kiri mi chou. Stay no kiri mi chou yu
Like 300 kilometers north from the polar circle.
So we are in the true Arctic.
You can tell from my eyes now that there are two icebergs that are not dangerous, but one iceberg that is dangerous. If you think of, maybe I can give you the picture. You have big castle look like buildings with high towers, and you could have icebergs looking like that with high towers and thin towers. They are dangerous, but they can break off any time and anywhere. So never go close to it. If it breaks off, you will have a big, very big building banging into the water just near you, and you will disappear immediately. You have big icebergs that are very solid with no towers, just like an ice cube, just in a billion size bigger. That is very solid, and you can go near it, sometimes walk on it. It's prohibited to walk on it, but it's very rare that they destroy. They kind of just melt down into small pieces. But the icebergs with the different funny shapes, and an iceberg with an iceberg upon it, it keeps melting in the sun, and it will get a shape which gives it unbalance, and when it's an unbalance, it either tips off or roll around. So stay away from those and stay to the very solid icebergs with no funny shapes.
When you look at the mountains in summer, they can be beautiful. In winter, they're just incredible. It's a magical time of year when the weather conditions are nice, and it's a really challenging place when the weather isn't so good, when it's more Scottish in character. Coming from the Cairngorms, we have lots of noise from wind in the mountains, and you get used to listening for it coming before it actually hits you. So you kind of build up a sixth sense almost of hearing the weather.
So how are we doing with the harness?
That's a bit twisted there.
There's blue ice, there's green ice, there's brittle ice, toffee ice, there's sort of snow ice, nevy. Scottish ice climbing is notoriously scary because it's frozen snow rather than water ice. Some people will describe it as squeaky nevy, where you get enough grip, but you can't protect it. It's good to climb on, it squeaks away, but in terms of putting ice screws in, you just don't think or feel they're going to hold if you should fall off, so you can't fall off them. That's the top thought in your mind.
So your 8-foot sling today, we can keep that on our harness.
We teach people to listen to what their feet are doing in the snow and listen to the snow itself. And if it's creaky, it tells you things about how well bonded it is or how different the snow crystals are from an avalanche point of view. You know, when it's crunchy, crisp snow, sometimes that tells you about how good your grip is with your crampons or your feet. Experiences of spending lots of time on glaciers, they make a huge amount of noise. And if you've ever spent time trying to sleep in a tent, lying on a glacier, it makes all sorts of booms and echoes and funny noises, and you think you're about to fall down a crevasse all the time.
I'm a geologist working in glaciers. And I've been to a glacier which has played music for me that I have nowhere else heard. It is an extreme range of vibration from very, very high pitch, even beyond what you hear, and to a very, very low vibration where you don't hear it with your ears, you just feel it with your guts. Also, you hear that fractured ice, shattered ice, moving in heaps. Sounds like glass crystal being pushed forward by something. It's a thumping heartbeat of the glacier, very regular. Sofðu unga ástin mín, úti regnið grætur. Mamma geymir gullin þín, gamla leggi og völuskrín. Við skulum ekki vakum dimmar nætur. Það er margt sem myrkrið veit, minnir hugur þungur. Oft ég svartan sandin leit, svíða grænan engireit. Í jöklinum hljóða dauða djúpar sprungur. In the glacier, the deadly deep crevasses are mourning. A lullaby that's sung for every child in Iceland. Sleep, my dear beloved one, outside the brain is crying. Mother keeps your playthings.
Old sheep legs and muscle cells.
We shall not be awake during the dark night. There are many things that darkness knows.
My mind is dark, heavy. Many times I saw the black sand advance over the green meadow. And in the glacier,
the deadly deep crevasses are mourning. This doesn't sound like soothing for any young child.
We have this realistic view on life, and we don't avoid grief and the real sadness in life, which creeps up on everyone. Times were hard in Iceland back then, when people had to actually carry out their children because they couldn't keep them, they couldn't take care of them. The mother makes sure the baby is asleep and it's in her arms when it dies, and that is the most important thing. Sleep now softly. Sleep soundly. Late is best to waken. Troubles soon will teach you, as each day quickly passes, that people love, lose, cry, and mourn. You know, it's very cold, it's dark. But what is warm in this is the mother's love.
Sometimes it does go horribly wrong and there is a risk involved. When we come up against it from a rescue point of view, I think you're very focused on getting the job done. I don't have a lot of space in my head thinking about other things in those occasions. It's afterwards that you maybe find yourself back in an area where there's been a fatal accident. And the feelings, the emotions are evoked then. Now, if I come back off the mountains and I feel emotional or sad about it, I'll pick up my fiddle and I'll play slow airs and laments, I think, to try and get out of the system as well. You think you maybe play happy tunes, but you tend to play sad tunes. It's very much the mood that you're in. It's maybe part of the grieving process, I don't know. You know, although we might not know the person, you still definitely go through that sort of process that, well, you know, we did the best we could, but they didn't make it.
Being still is a protective process and a very natural one. When grief occurs, it's a huge shock. And one of the things about shock is that our bodies freeze. So part of work as a drama therapist is supporting the person in their own time to unfreeze. As part of my job, I do a lot of training of other professionals. And I was looking for a way of introducing a metaphor. With the exercise, I simply say, I'm going to pass two cubes of ice around, one this way, one that way. And I'll invite and encourage people just to hold it for a few moments, notice how they're feeling, what's it like to have it in their hands, and then when they're ready, just pass it on. And I don't mention what the ice has been about. I simply say, what was it like to pass the ice, to hold the ice? Quite often, people make very direct connections and say, oh, it's about death, isn't it? It's about loss. Sometimes people say it was cold, it was slipping through my fingers, it was messy, I didn't like it. With a healthy grief process, one would hope that there would be a cycle, that there would be moments of being frozen, moments of moving on, moments of new growth. And that often seems agonisingly slow, or that that's not happening. But usually it does.
Snjókorn í lófa. Að vatni ertu komið og að vatni skal þú aftur verða.
Greenland is like a very big bathtub. So therefore you can only live in the coasts. The coast is that limits the bathtub. When we get snow in the winter, the snow will fall on the inland ice, and it keeps falling and keeps falling, and in the end it pressures the ice out from the ice fjords and gletschers. You can imagine if you fill your bathtub up with water, and the water will fall out of the bathtub in the end because it's full. It's actually the same system with the inland ice.
We can see in the Greenland glacier when the Romans invented the plumbing system, because there was a lot of lead melted and some of it went into the atmosphere and fell on the surface of the glacier in Greenland, among other things. If it happens in the Northern Hemisphere, it will be caught up in the Greenland ice cap. The Greenland ice sheet is solid frozen by many minus degrees centigrade. So if you have a soluble material fall on the Greenland glacier, it stays put in that stratigraphy. If you have something soluble fall on an Icelandic glacier, it's like putting milk in a cup of coffee. It'll just spread all through the body in a very short time. Icelandic glaciers are temperate. They're always at the melting point. They're wet all through.
Snowflake in a palm. From water you are to water you become. I'm an Icelandic writer. There's an Icelandic photographer. He has been photographing faces and monsters and images in ice that was calving into this lake in the south coast of Iceland. He asked me, what are these pictures telling us? What do these faces mean? What is this?
Down through the strata of the glacier, we can extract history if we know how to interpret. And we are getting to know it. We can tell by measuring the ratio of isotopes, what the temperature was like during any given period. So it has memory in a very real sense.
So I was looking at these pictures for some time, and I was wondering how old this ice was that was calving into this lake, and found out that the ice was about 800 years old. And therefore, the images and the memory of this water would have been from a notorious era in the Icelandic history. We had our only war in Iceland at that time.
Everything that goes into the glacier will come out of it. We had an airplane crashing into a glacier in the year 1952. It appeared at the snout of that glacier in 1995, with crew and everything. But it was not intact, of course. We had an arm with a wedding ring and a watch there and a wallet, and it was pretty much preserved, but shattered to pieces anyway.
In the 1200s, there kind of came an imbalance where instead of tens and hundreds of independent farmers, they became mega clans and super chiefs. Just a few guys acquired almost all the power of our business community. So I was wondering if this ice that was calving into the lake contained maybe some kind of memories. And if this was actually entering our drinking water, it could explain the collapse and what happened to the Icelandic businessmen.
We have another airplane that crashed into a glacier, a much larger glacier, in 1950. Now it is at 200 meters depth in the glacier, and it's moving slowly towards the edge of this glacier. If the glacier stay the similar size, it'll appear at the terminus of the glacier in about 600 or 800 years. But now we are expecting that the glaciers will melt altogether in about 200 years. Then this history of 2,000 years that we have embedded within the glacier is going to melt away in 200 years, so we are losing 5 years of history every year now.
Yeah, it's making noise. It's alive. when an iceberg destroys, turn around or fall in pieces, there will always be billions of very small pieces suitable for a ice cube into a glass of whiskey. You can hear the bubbles inside the ice cubes. When you hear them melt, you can hear them crackle, because that air bubble is made like 2 to 3 million years ago.
It's certainly melting pretty rapidly today up in the Cairngorms. So I was listening to water running down off rocks and disappearing into the snowpack, which wasn't a good thing when you're perched on snow on top of rock, you know, and you think, I really don't want to be here anymore. It's time to hang up the ice axe for a while and let it freeze up. I hope that cold conditions return. It gets to a stage where you've had enough of snow and ice. The little flowers are coming out and the grass is changing to green again from sort of brown. And the thought that, yeah, we can go out and feel a bit of warmth in the springtime. So it's a fresh time of year. It's a nice transition.
That power is quite overwhelming, really, when you kind of stand on the cliff and it just comes endlessly without stopping. And this roar is kind of almost seductive. Many people that I know express the feeling of they want to jump into it, vanishing into the power and the roar, yes.
Minutes from here. The fish is just outside town.
I don't think there are any humans who have seen greater increase in water discharge than the people in southern Iceland, ever. During eruptions in the Mýrdalsjökull ice cap, we have the floodings getting way beyond the discharge of the Amazon River. So during that moment, the largest river in the world is in Iceland. We call it Jökulhlaups, catastrophic. There will be a huge change in the landscape when the glaciers are gone. Now things are changing very drastically. Increase of 1 degree centigrade is huge. We are expecting several degrees centigrade warming up. And this has so much impact that we really have no way of telling exactly what will happen.
Got When ice came in the winter here before, we could hunt seals on the ice and we could hunt beluga whales. But today it's not possible. Today we fish nearly all year round here because there's no ice. And today hunters usually go out on hunting on the ice, but now with the dog sled they go out with the tourists instead. The Inuit have always been here, even though the climate changes and it gets colder, it gets warmer. The Inuit, they adapt themselves to the surroundings and the environment. So that is what they will do in the coming future as well, or try to do. We live just at the shore, close to the water line, and we can tell immediately if it goes warmer or colder, the temperature in the water. So we follow the nature, we follow the temperature in the water, and it decides how we should live.
Snjókorn í lófa, af vatni ertu komið og að vatni skalt þú aftur verða.
Snowflake in a pond. From water you are, to water you become.